Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bavo Basra Daf Chof Ches, the beginning of the third perek, perek Ches Kesabatim. The Mishnah. Ches Kesabatim, V'haboros, V'hashifim, V'hamaoros. In order to achieve a chazaka on houses, boros, shifim, and oros are different types of pits that contain water. The concept of chazaka is described in Rashi. Rashi will begin at the second line from the top in the middle. V'chol dover shoyseper is todir. Things, items that constantly are capable of producing. Peros literally are fruits, and you would associate that with fields. We mentioned pits containing water. Cheskoson shalushonim miyoyim liyoyim. The achievement of a chazaka is through their use over the course of 3 years on a daily basis. Im hichzik ba shalushonim shlemos. If a person was in possession and in use of these items for 3 complete years, ein tzorich lahavi shtar mechira. There is no longer any expectation of the possessor to produce as evidence of ownership a document of sale. Vim iru aru aleha bailim harishonim. If the previous owner would challenge the present occupant's legitimacy, v'ze oimer mocharto liv avashnori, and the current possessor would respond and say, well, you sold it to me and I lost my bill of sale. Chezkosoi me'elis lo. His possession and use of it serves to benefit him. V'im lav, ein chezkosoi me'elis lo. If, however, he doesn't make the claim, you sold it to me and I lost my shtar, so the mere fact that he has been there isn't going to help him. And likewise, if he wasn't there for 3 full years in constant use, his presence there is not going to help him. Lefi shekeshe'omru gimushanam l'chazoka, when the rabbis legislated that 3 years entitles you to possession, kol haroi lotseis mimeno gimulsham begimulsham shonim omru. Their intention was that you have used it, you've extracted from the property the maximum that you could have done. So Rashi's emphasizing the idea of constant use over the course of the 3 years. He also added a very important factor, and that the chazok is not merely your presence there for 3 years. If someone were to challenge your being there by saying, what are you doing here? And say, well, I've been here for 3 years and no one said anything to me. That does not gain ownership for the occupant. He has to add a taina, namely, you sold it to me and I lost the document. There are other legitimate tainas that go along with a chazaka, and certainly we'll be exposed to that as we go through the perek. We left off in the middle of the list of items that require the 3 year chazaka. Let's continue in the Mishnah. We mentioned the different kinds of pits and houses, the hashovchos, or bird coops, the merchotsois, bathhouses, ubeis habadin, those are olive presses, ubeis hashlochin, fields that produce crops through irrigation. Veho avodim, slaves. V'chol dover shoyseper is todir. All entities that can be a constant source of production, constant source of benefit. Cheskosin shalashonim yom liyom. In order to achieve the chazoka that we described before while through learning Rashi, you need to be in possession and use of them for 3 years on a daily basis. Sode beis habal, a field that's watered through rain. It is the nature of that kind of field is that it doesn't produce fruits it doesn't produce vegetation throughout the year, rather once a year. Cheskos shalosh shanim v'einon miyom liyom. The chazok is achieved through your presence there 3 years, but not on a not w- without the daily requirement. Now, at this point, Rashi adds, by way of, we'll say, connecting this point with the continuation of the Mishnah, once we've said regarding the Soda Beis Habaal, 3 years, but not on a daily basis, well then, what is required? And we, before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the Rashi on the fourth narrow line, Soda Beis Habaal, HaMistapekes B'mei Geshomim, a field that is sustained through rain water. Eino oisaperos elapamachas bishana. It produces one crop a year. Cheskosa gimel shana ve'eino tzricha miyom liyom. Its chazoka is achieved over 3 years, but not with the daily requirement. Uma hi cheskosa. Notice the key connecting words that Rashi adds. And what is the chazoka then? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, and that leads us into the continuation of the Mishnah. If we use Rashi by way of an introduction, we would continue in the Rashi where he says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shloisha Chadoshim Achorinim Shoshana Rishena, Shloisha Chadoshim Rishena Shoshana Achorina, 3 months, the last 3 months of the first year that you're there, an entire middle year and the first 3 months of the third year. So you have a representation of 3 years, 18 months in total, in the fashion that we just described. And that's Vamsoy Shlema, the middle 12 months in, we'll say, consecutive middle 12 months. Shiesh Hamimam Zorah Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. How does this work? How does this represent a chazok of 3 years? Of three crops, there are those that can plant before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah meaning the first day of Tishrei, v'kevon sheichzik bo soif shana rishona, and since you used the field, got benefit from the field at the end of the first year, the last 3 months of the first year, that's soif shana rishona gimel shana chodoshim. V'yeshlo edim shezor ba'isin gimel chadoshim, and he has witnesses that can testify that he planted during those first 3 months. The chain b'gimel chadoshim rishonim shel achrona, and likewise with regard to the last 3 months, I should say the first 3 months of the last year. Harei zu cheska shel rishonim b'tzufos, this constitutes 3 consecutive years. Shein l'cha'odom ha'roya eschaver shezorea sodeu l'achol pri ha'osui l'shona v'shoisek. The foundation of Chazaka, and Rashi's alluding it to it over here, is it's a use of the property that if it weren't actually owned by the occupant, the true owner wouldn't stand by in silence. And in this particular case, Rashi tells us, the owner wouldn't watch someone else plant his field with the intention of consuming the produce that is produced over a year and remain silent. So if that continues for, we'll say, 3 represented years, and the original previous owner remained silent, that's a sign to us that he no longer owns it, that he sold it. I just want to remind you, once again, it's not the idea of chazoka is not effective if you simply say, I've been here for 3 years and no one said anything to me. You have to add to your chazoka the claim that you sold it to me, and since 3 years have gone by, I no longer have the shtar to prove it. So now we go back to the Mishnah where we left off at the point that it taught us that when you're dealing with the Soda Beis Habaal, a rain field, Chazok is achieved over 3 years, but not the without the requirement of from miyom liyom. So what is the necessity or the necessary requirements for achieving the chazak? Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, Gimel Chadoshim Borishona, the 3 months of the first of these 3 years, and those are the three last months of the first year. Gimel Bachrona, 3 months of the third year. Those are the first 3 months of the third year. Ushnei Mosor Chodesh B'Emtza, and 12 months in the middle. That's a complete year. Hareilu Yud Ches Chodesh. And the Mishnah is kind enough to add it up for us and tells us it's a total of 18 months. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Chodesh Borishon of a Chodesh Bachronov, Yud Beis Chodesh B'Emtza. He doesn't have a 3 before and a 3 after. He has 1 month of the first year, the last month of the first year, a consecutive 12 months in the middle, and the first month of the third year. Hare Yud Dalet Chodesh. And he too is kind enough to add it up for us, giving you 14 months. Omar Rabbi Shmuel, Bameh Dvorim Amurim. Under what circumstances do we say that you need to be there for 18 months for a rain field? Bestei Lovon. Stei Lovon is a term referring to a grain field. And Rashi says, Bestei Lovon, Shekol Perusel Nilkotim Perek Echad, Nufikoch Tzorch Gimel Shonim. Its harvest is harvested at one time. And therefore, in order to get a chazoka of 3, in order to get your 3 harvests, you would have to be there for the 3 representative years that we described before. Avol, the Mishnah goes on, Bestei Ilon. Stei Ilon is a field of trees, of fruit-bearing trees. Kines es tfuaso. The word tfuaso here is a tricky expression. It means grapes that produce wine. For a field containing fruit-bearing trees, if you do the following, kines es tfuaso, umosak es esav, that's the harvesting of olives. For kines es kaitso, that's the harvesting of figs. Kaitso is a technically speaking, are figs that you harvested and dried out and brought them into your house. If you did that, you harvested grapes, olives, and figs. Hare Elu Gimel Shonim. That represents 3 years. And at this point, we turn to the Gemara, but before we do so, we glance in our marked Gemara margin, and we note that we have a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading that lasts till Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph, Mekoros Lecheskas Gimel Shonim. Sources for this concept of 3 years, use of property over 3 years, gains for the occupant a chazoka. And the immediate topic that we'll deal with, the Nosei, Limud Gimel Shonim Mishor Hamuad. The derivation of 3 years from the concept or the institution of the untamed ox. Shor Hamuad is an ox that's demonstrated that it's prone to goring. Just like a shor hamuad, after it gores 3 times, it then is labeled a shor hamuad, and the practical application or practical difference is that up till that point, after it gored once, twice, or 3 times, for those 3 gorings, half damage payment is made. Call that chatzi nezek. Beyond that point, full damage is paid. So the change in, let's say, identity of animal, legal identity, legal status, is after 3. I emphasize that term, 3 gorings. We then transfer that information to what we saw in our Mishnah, something to do with 3 years. We'll be more precise, of course, when we go through the Gemara. But at this point, the idea of the number three is of relevance and significance. A structural note, the Mivneh, we have a firebox marking, highlighting, you can see immediately in your Gemara text, Mehol Che'usha. Later in the Gemara, we'll discover that Hol Che'usha refers to Rabbi Yishmael in the Mishnah. And what's characteristic of Rabbi Yishmael in the Mishnah is that he dealt with the phenomenon of 3 years, but not a series of 36 consecutive months. He described to us what we call the abbreviated 3 years. We will see a Roman numeral number 2, and if you don't see it on Omer Aleph, so you scan ahead, and you'll see the lower part of Chav Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says L'Rabbonan. The Gemara at that point is asking, well, up till now we've been speaking about Rabbi Shmuel. What about according to the Rabbonan? That represents a shita that doesn't have in its way of thinking 3 abbreviated years, but rather 3 complete years. So that even though when you learn the Mishnah, I don't think it jumps out so strongly to you that there's these two schools of thought. The Mishnah described 2 different chazokah situations, rain field, irrigation field, but in learning the Gemara, you discover that there is another shita, the shita of the Rabbonan, that don't hold like Rabbi Shmuel, don't hold from the concept of abbreviated years, and hence, according to that shita, the Rabbonan, what is their source for 3 complete years? After introducing the source for Hol Che'usha, term Hol Che'usha, we'll see, by studying Rashi, you'll discover it's a reference to the city of Usha. The city of Usha had the Sanhedrin located there after they were exiled from the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah speaks of 10 different exiles that the Sanhedrin was part of. And we mentioned earlier, though, that Hol Che'usha is okay. It's a code name for Rabbi Shmuel. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shomati me Hol Che'usha Shohayu Omrim. I heard from the Hol Che'usha that said, Minayin lechazok ishi gimel shanim. From where do we know that a chazok is achieved after 3 years? Mishor Hamuad. The basis is the damaging ox. Mashor Hamuad kivon shenogach gimel negichos nofak lemicheskas tam v'kom lebicheskas muad. Just like the ox that demonstrates repeat gorings 3 times leaves the status of tam, being the, we'll say, tam, maybe it reminds you of the word tame. Phonetically, it would appear to be the same letters. Maybe there's something to it. It leaves the tam status, the komle becheskas muad, and enters the status of being muad, meaning prone to goring. Hachi nami, so too in our topic, kevon de ochlo, tlas shonin, ofekle, mirshus moicher, bekaimo, lo, birshus lokeach. After the occupant consumes the produce for 3 years, it leaves the status of being owned by the previous owner and is now enters the status of the purchaser, the lokeaf, literally the purchaser, the current possessor. A new marking appears, a trapezoid or volcano shape. We call this a ma'akav, and on the side of the Gemara, you'll note Kushios and Chuvos, the narrow part on the upper where the narrow part is facing up, that represents the kushios, questions, and inverted are responses. The Mora continues, Ima shor hamuad ad negicho revias lo mechayev. If you're going to learn from shor hamuad, like you just said, well, until it gores a fourth time, there is no full damage payment. For the first three gorings, half damage is paid. Full damage is not paid until a fourth goring. So if you're going to pattern the dinim of chazaka based on shor hamuad, hachi nami ad shana revias lo kaima b'shusay, we should say until the completion of the fourth year, you don't gain a chazaka. You don't gain evidence of ownership. The Gemara responds, Hachi hashta. How can you compare the issue of chazaka to this point of full payment arising only after the fourth goring? Hosom, in the case of the shor, Mechinogach Sholosh Negichos Habimuot. Once three gorings take place, it takes on a new status, the status of Muad. It's labeled as Shor HaMuad. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ve'idach ki lo nogach mai l'shalem, as far as the other goring, meaning an additional goring. If it hasn't done an additional goring, why would we obligate him to pay? There's nothing to pay for. However, we want to emphasize, after three gorings, the animal has achieved a new status. Payment-wise, until there's a fourth goring, okay, so there's nothing to pay for. And when we say nothing, I mean there's no full payment to be made. Hacha, with regard to chazaka, kevon the ochlo tlas shani kaimo lo b'shusei. Once the possessor consumes the produce for 3 years, it becomes his. So our comparison is focused on the issue of status in the meantime. Ox, after three gorings, gains a new legal status. Yusuf Field, after 3 years, gains a new, say, ownership status. The Gemara asks, Ela me'ata, if you're saying that we shall learn from the Shor HaMuad, Chazaka sheini motaina teve chazaka. Then a chazaka, use of the field for 3 years without the occupant adding a particular claim that I bought it from you. Just the mere fact that he's been there for 3 years and no one said anything should be a legitimate sign of ownership. We said that after 3 years, it leaves the possession of the seller and enters the possession of the buyer. So that if you are going to maintain the parallel to the Shor HaMuad, there shouldn't be any additional need for a claim. Aloma Tanan, and yet, why does it say, Kol Chazoka She'ein Imo Taina Eino Chazoka? A chazaka without an accompanying claim doesn't constitute a sign of ownership. The Gemara responds, why is the taina so essential? Taimo mai. Why is it that we say that 3 years is effective in changing, say, ownership status? Why? Diamrina. Because we say, Dilmo kideka omar. The 3 years serves to back up what the occupant's claim is. He's there claiming something. Hashta ihu lo toyin. If in the meantime, though, he isn't making any claim, anan lito le, should we claim something on his behalf? Let us learn the Rashi on this point. On the second narrow line, Rashi says, "Umishani taimo mai aminon sholo shone mafle b'cheskas morakama." Why is it that we say that 3 years is effective in changing ownership status? The aminon, because we say dilmo kide omarihu. Maybe things are as he is claiming. Ze omer lokachti mimcha. The occupant is saying, I bought it from you. Ze omer gilzalti mimeni. And the original previous owner is saying, you stole it from me. And we don't know with whom is the truth. The use of it over 3 years helps to establish, resolve that doubt. And we say, maybe the truth is as he is saying, namely that I bought it from you. So that you can see that the whole chazaka is coming on the heels of a claim. But without a claim, namely I bought it from you or something of a similar nature, from where would he acquire it in order to justify his consumption of it for 3 years? So the taina is is the core of enabling the chazaka to be effective. As far as the comparison to Shor HaMuad is concerned, that is simply a method of concluding how many years are necessary. But to speak of a chazaka without an accompanying claim, that would be ludicrous. We continue in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Aviro elameato macha shelo befonov lo teve macha dumyo de shor avuot. A macha, a protest on the part of the owner. We mentioned before that a chazaka is achieved only if the occupant's use is something that would prompt a previous owner to protest if he didn't actually sell it. That's the machah, the protest, or the warning to the occupant that he better watch his shtar if he's going to try to lay claim to the field. What is the law if the protest is not made, is not issued in front of the occupant? Well, we have as an assumption, as a given, that it's effective. The original owner isn't expected to show up literally in the presence of the occupant. However, if you're telling me that the basis of chazaka is from Shor HaMuad, then in the case of Shor HaMuad, a muad status does not arise unless the victims or the witnesses put the original owner on warning, the owner of the ox on warning by testifying in his presence. So if you want to maintain a parallel between the laws of chazaka and Shor HaMuad, the result would be that a macha shelo befonav would not be an effective macha, would not be an effective means of warning, and that would be by maintaining the parallel dumya de Shor HaMuad. Ma Shor HaMuad befonav boinon, af hachanami befonav boinon. Just like in the case of Shor HaMuad, the owner is put on notice only if the witnesses say your ox is a goring animal, and they say that in the presence of the owner of the ox. So too, the macha, the protest issued by the previous owner, shouldn't be considered an effective protest unless it's in the presence of the occupant. And in raising this question, we know that that's not the case. Even if the previous owner doesn't walk up to the occupant in issuing his protest, it nevertheless constitutes a macha. And we didn't get into all of the details yet, but we mentioned very quickly in passing that the macha serves to put the occupant on notice to keep his shtar, don't lose it. If a macha is issued and within those 3 years and the 3 years go by, the occupant will not be able to rely on the chazaka. The machah serves to put the occupant on notice to preserve the shtar, and in the absence of his preservation of the shtar, he will lose out. So, how is it then that on the with regard to chazaka, machah shelo bafanav is held to be a legitimate protest, a legitimate machah? If you're learning from Shoah, what should it not be effective only if the previous owner issues his warning in the occupant's presence? The Gemara responds, Hasam, with regard to Shor HaMuad, there is a scriptural reference to the necessity of being in the presence of the animal owner. V'hu'ad biv'olov k'siv. There's, as we said, a scriptural demand of warning the owner, meaning in his presence. However, hocha, with regard to chazaka, our goal by chazaka is to, as we said before, to put the occupant, the current user, on notice that the previous owner is challenging the legitimacy of the current occupant. And while that can be achieved even without being in the presence of the occupant, of the machzik, chavroch, chavro is lay. If you tell someone, so he has a friend. The chavroch, chavro is lay. And your friend's friend also has a friend. In our terms, we say by word of mouth. The information, the protest will get to him even without being in his actual presence. We look at Rashi, a few lines down from here, in the middle of the narrow lines. Hasavua bivolov Omar Achmona, klomar, lo domi. The topic of Shor HaMuad and Chazaka are not comparable on this point. Granted that we learn the number 3 years from 3 gorings. Just like the 3 gorings change the animal's status, so too the 3 years change the ownership status. But as far as protest from testimony, that we don't learn one from the other. In the case of Shor HaMuad, the testimony there is designed to extract a money payment from the animal owner. In a case where the testimony is designed to extract a monetary compensation, you need to be in the presence of the owner. The testimony must be in his presence. Shiyedu litoin lachish shu'edim lovyachirim lazimon. In order to afford the owner of the animal an opportunity to challenge, to contradict the witnesses, to bring other witnesses to establish the challenging witnesses, or I should say the witnesses claiming goring as edim zoymimim. Aval taimu demachah. But when it comes to the issue of chazaka and the protest of on the part of the previous owner, it's designed merely to warn the current possessor to guard whatever rights he claims to have. The previous owner is claiming you're there by way of theft, and if you claim otherwise, then you better watch your document. Hacha afilu shlo b'fonav nami isah. In this case, you know, the warning is effective even without being in the machzik's presence. We continue in the Gemara. Ula Rebbe Meir, the Omar. According to Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir has a point of view regarding gorings that says as follows: Richek negichosev chayav kiriv negichosev lo kol shekain. If an animal gores over the course of several days, the 3 gorings, And that makes the animal into a shoharim wood, and all the more so if the gorings would be successive in the course of a short amount of time. For example, on one day, the animal would gore three times, and all the more so that would establish it as a shor hamuad. That's Rebbe Meir's approach to shor hamuad. So that the, as far as he is concerned, the closer in time that the gorings take place, that's all the more reason for establishing muad. Using that mindset and transferring it to chazaka, the three, I want to say 3 year chazaka, but you're going to see that we're going to be departing from the year idea into three harvests. And before we go further in the Gemara, I also would like to glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic / Mivne structural note. The double underline, one of our series markings, highlights the term, the repeating term, Ochlo Tlosa Peri. That's to do with the use of the field for extracting three harvests. Sidur Shel She'elos Libid Rebbe Meir, you'll see a series of questions according to Rebbe Meir. The sover b'inyan shor hamuad kirev nekichosav kol shekein dechayav, based on his idea that successive form of gorings all the more establishes a muad status. Another marking that will be in use is a house shape, and if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice different kinds of fruits are mentioned. Te'eno, tzlaf, aspasta, and you'll see how they figure in our Gemara. So we turn back to the Gemara. According to Rebbe Meir, that kirev negichosav lo kol shekein, then what would you say about the following? Ochlo tlosa peri b'chad yomo. A person successfully harvested three crops in one day. Kagon te'eno leve chazok. Would you say that he gains a chazoka to the fig trees? The Gemara says no. That cannot be. That is not true. Before we go on, I think we'll benefit by learning the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. L'Rebbeir Domar Klomar L'Rebbe Yehuda Domar Vavakama Ezu Muad Kol Shidubay Shloishi Yomim Ikol Meimar Hacha Gimel Shanim Dumid Shloishi Yomim. According to Rebbe Yehuda, we're not in Vavakama that spoke about the three gorings only if they take place on three separate days would it gain a muad status. So there, according to Rebbe Yehuda, that is 3 years are parallel to the three separate days. Elul Rebbe Meir Yomar Hosam Dafilu Nogach Gimel Pomim Biyomechon Havi Muad Mikal B'Chomer. According to Rebbe Meir, that feels that if the gorings are even or more rapid, then it certainly is a muad. Hacha Nami Ochla Tlas Peri Bechad Yoma. Three crops in one day, kagon te'ena. How can you speak about three crops in one day with regard to the fig tree? Well, she'eno misbasheles yachad. Figs, the nature of figs is that though the fig tree may have numerous figs on them, they don't become ripe all at once. V'yesh she'eno misbasheles shachris ulerev hi ruya. There are cases, the nature of the fig tree is that there are those that in the morning some are ripe, misbashelis, ripe, and there are others on that tree are not ripe until the evening. Hachi nami dahavi chazoka. Would you say then that if he harvests those that are ripe in the morning, that constitutes one harvest, those that are ripe that ripen by the noon time, that's two. harvest those that become ripe by the evening. That's three. Would you say that that constitutes a chazaka, that a person gains a chazaka in one day? The Gemara responds, no. Dum yod shor hamuad. You have to maintain a parallel to shor hamuad, though. Ma shor hamuad beidno di isle hai honegicha lesa lahonegicha. When the ox gores its first goring, there is no second goring whatsoever. It hasn't come to be. It only gored once. The second goring is a function of waiting for it to come about. Hochanami beidno di isalahai pira lesalahai pira. With regard to the fruit, if you want to speak of a chazaka, you'd have to speak about a situation where you're harvesting your first harvest of fruits is at a point in time where the second fruits aren't there. And that's not the case with the Te'ena. The case of the Te'ena, they're all there now, just that the latter harvests are not fully ripe, but they're almost fully ripe. So there's a lack of parallel, there's the lack of the necessary parallel to Shor Hamuad. Well, with that in mind, we continue with another question, though. Ochlo tlosa peri kagon tslaf leve chazaka. Now, we need to look at Rashi. Tslaf pri shalom nikirbo hayom v'nigmar l'soif gimul yomim. It's a type of fruit, a berry, that doesn't become, let's say, noticeable until 3 days go by, which means that I will find some tzlaf berries growing today. The next ones are not noticeable until 3 days go by. So if you have, let's say, according to Rabbi Meir, you have tzlaf bushes, would you say that if you consumed three tzlaf harvests over that very, very short amount of time, would that gain him a chazaka? The Gemara responds, Hosam, in the case of the tzlaf pira miho isei, when you are harvesting the first tzlaf berries, the second ones they exist, they're there. Umigmaru de kogomar viozil. Its development, though, hasn't taken place. There's a difference between the te'ena, that was our first example, and the tzlaf. With regard to the te'ena, the second fruit was almost complete when you were harvesting the first fruit. In this case, with the tzlaf, when you're harvesting your first tzlaf berries, the next ones are not very, say, they lack prominence, and therefore there was room for the Gemara to repeat or to advance on to this question, this example, even though we already dealt with the te'ena. The Gemara continues with a third issue. Ochla tlosa peri betalsin yoimi. What about a case where you have three harvests over the course of 30 days? That's 10, 10, and 10. Kegoin aspasto, leve chazoka. Again, we look at Rashi. Aspasto, Rashi says, min zerahu liesuv behemus. It's a type of grass that's used for animal feed. Ulasoif shloishim yoim hu nigmar. It becomes fully developed after 30 days. V'oikunaisoi v'zorin acher b'mkoimoi. And after 30 days, you would uproot whatever's there and then plant new aspasta in its place. Ubasoi shloishim yoim gozizin oisoi sholosh pamim. Within the 30 days, it's possible to gozizin is to cut them three times. So that You have, if you would have an aspasta plant, field growing aspasta, after 10 days, you would, we'll call it, say, trim it. And after 10 more days, trim it again. And after 10 more days, you're at the 30-day mark. You've now trimmed it three times. Would you say that that is a chazaka? Now, we turn back to the Gemara. Heichi domi. What are the circumstances in the question that you're suggesting here? The kodiach v'ochla, the kodiach v'ochla, that your aspasta, the aspasta grew a little bit, and you cut it down, not uprooted it, but you cut it down after 10 days of growth. In other words, it's not a harvest at the point of maturation, but rather, as we described, 10 days go by and you cut down the 10 days of growth. Is that what you're talking about? He, in a case like that, is trying to, say, get away with it. What do we mean, get away with it? Rashi doesn't elaborate much. He says, V'ein zu achilas kol apri. That's not considered a consumption of the entire vegetation. That's a type of use that one might say is characteristic of someone that's not using it in the regular owner fashion, and hence it wouldn't motivate a macha, wouldn't motivate a protest. And as we tried to explain earlier, a chazaka is achieved only if through use that would motivate an original owner to protest. If your use doesn't indicate that you are claiming or behaving as an owner, so then you don't gain a chazaka. Continuing with the aspasta, but in this case, he allows the plant to grow till maturation, which means 1 month of growth, and then harvesting it. What would be the din then? Ochla tlosa peri, but tlosa yarchi kagon aspasta leve chazaka. Eating, or I should say consuming, harvesting three crops of aspasta over 3 months, would you say, according to Rebbe Meir, that that would be a chazaka? So the Gemara says, in fact, yes. Man ho cheusha, Rabbi Shmuel. The entire sugya was analyzing the issue of three based on Shor HaMuad. And we learned Shor HaMuad from Rabbi Yochanan's report of what he heard from Hol Cheusha. Oh, so Hol Cheusha is the basis for learning from Shor HaMuad. And within Shor HaMuad, we were just asking, according to Rabbi Meir, what would be the din. So the Gemara says, who is Hol Cheusha? Rabbi Yishmael. Le Rabbi Yishmael, Hochinami. In fact, according to Rabbi Yishmael, this consumption of aspasta, three crops in over 3 months, it would be a real good chazoka. Desnan, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Bamed Vomamurim. Rabbi Shmuel qualified the Tanakama of the necessity of 3 years. That's Bestei Halovan. I should say Rabbi Yishmael's reference to the necessity of 3 years. The truth is that the Tanakama spoke about 3 years from day to day. Rabbi Shmuel spoke about the abbreviated 3 years, but even so, the need for 3 years, that was in the case of a stei lovan, a grain field. Aval b'stei ilon, when it came to a tree field, kines es tuvasu mosak ezesa v'kines es kaitzo hare elu gimel shanim. Three crops are enough. Oh, so the same thing with aspasta. Three crops of fully developed aspasta is no different, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that would be a form of chazaka. now, as we said before in our introduction, the Rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Yishmael. The Rabbonon don't have a concept of abbreviated years. So Rashi says, the Rabbonon, my Rabbonon, the less lehu hold Rabbi Yishmael. Minolehu chazoka d'shaloshanim, the Rabbonon who do not hold by Rabbi Yishmael, where do they have the, what is their source for chazoka of 3 years? Omar Rav Yosef, you'll notice we have a triangle marking, and on the side under the nosei slash mivneh, we refer to this as a ma'akav, because we're going to see a give and take style gemara. The triangle point up are makoros legimel shanim lefi harabonon, the less lehu Rabbi Shmuel, and the inverted triangle are kushyosof shel abaye. You'll find an inverted triangle with a dashed underlining of abaye. And at each juncture in the Gemara, Abaye will be challenging that which was said. These are kushyos shel Abaye. I'll call tshuva on each one of the attempted answers. So, in the meantime, Omar Rav Yosef, Kro Ksiv, there is a pasuk that indicates a need for 3 years in order to gain a chazaka. What is in the pasuk? The pasuk is the prophet Yirmiyahu, who is telling the people that they should, if they're going to buy property, they should make sure to have prepared documents. And the reason that we're citing this as a source is because at this point in time, Yirmiyahu was prophesying about the impending exile. And if they purchase land now, at the point of this prophecy, he, you will see in the Gemara, is speaking in the 10th year of king's reign, and in the 11th year, they are going to be exiled, and they won't achieve a chazaka. So we see that 2 years is not enough. 3 is what would be necessary. Now the Gemara. Kro ksiv, sodos bakesef yiknu, v'chosoiv basefer v'chosoim. If you buy fields with money, kosev basefer chosoim, have documents prepared and signed. Sharei novi oimei be'eser, umazir ala chasisrei. The prophet is speaking in the 10th year, and warning about the impending exile in the 11th year. So you basically have only 2 years of possession, and that is not enough. The Abaye asks, Omar le Abaye. We also have a long question marking. This will take us down a few lines down the top of Chof Tes Amud Aleph. Abaye says, how can you be so sure that this is a source for our halacha? Dilma hasam eitzah teivah k'mashmalan. Maybe that is simply a statement on the part of the prophet expressing good advice. Could be a chazaka even in 1 year. But it's good advice to have a document as proof and not be burdened with the need for bringing witnesses to testify that you were in possession of the field. Now, we'll go back and read that again in the Gemara. Dilma Hosam, maybe, in the case of Yirmiyahu, Eitza Toivo Kamash Malan. And we continue at the top of Daf Chof Tes, the Ilo Teima Hochik. If you don't say thusly, namely, you don't say that what the prophet is saying is basically a good advice, but a source, I'll say a source for halacha, then what about the following? And this is from Yirmiyahu, in this case, Perichov Tes Bosek Hei. He writes, this is the prophet sending to the exiles already in Bavel. The pasuk we had just cited was Yirmiyahu addressing people still in Eretz Yisrael that are going to be exiled. At this point in time, there was already a previous wave of evacuees, of exiles, And he addresses them and says, "Benu batim v'shevu v'nitu ganois v'ichlu es piryon." My komar, what is he saying to them? Elo etza teivo kamashlon. He was addressing the exiles that had been exiled a number of years earlier, and Rashi gives you the background for that. You're going to be there for another good few decades. The Babylonian exile was 70 years. So we're talking about a point in time early in the in that particular period. And he was telling them, you're going to be there for a while, another few decades. So build houses and plant gardens and eat their fruits. What's he saying to them? He's giving them good advice. Hachanami, so too, from the pasuk we cited at the bottom of Chof Chesomet Beis, Eitza Toiva Kamashmalon. We see that the prophet also speaks words of good advice, and not to base our these psukim, the specifically the pasuk of Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Beis pasuk Mem Dalid, so does Bekesef Yiknu, as a source for halacha. Teda, and further evidence that everything he was saying was in the spirit of good advice. Dichsiv, in the posik that we cited earlier at the bottom of Chof Chesomet Beis, it said, Unisatom bechli cheres l'man yamdu yomim rabim. The documents that I spoke of, that the Novi spoke of, to prepare in anticipation of their impending exile, he also says, put the documents into earthenware vessels so as to preserve them for a long time. That is quite clearly in the spirit of good advice. So that's not a source for the Rabbonon. Elo Omar Rava. In this case, Rava, up till now, the first attempt was Rav Yosef. As you can see, if you scan ahead, the next three triangles highlight Rava's name. So Elo Omar Rava. What's the reason for 3 years? Shasa Kamaisa, for the first year that someone occupies a field, Mochilin Ishti. Previous owner, even if he hadn't sold it, and this guy is a squatter, he is forgiving. Tarti Mochil, 2 years likewise. Tlas Lo Mochil, but 3 years, a previous owner would not be Mochil, would not be forgiving. And if the occupant remains there for 3 years and the original owner doesn't protest, it's a sign that he was Moichel. And that's how one achieves a chazaka. Omar le Abaye, Ela Meyata. Well, Abaye says, according to that reasoning, that on 2 years a person would be forgiving, ki hadra ara teadu labar miperi, when there would be, let us say, a protest at the beginning of the third year. So 2 years have gone by, and you're saying that for 2 years a person is forgiving. In the third year, the beginning of the third year, a chazoka has not yet been achieved. Original owner protests and successfully gets his field back. When getting it back, it would stand to reason that he gets the field back, but he gets it without the produce, without the value of 2 years of harvests. That's what the Gemara means when it says, Ki hodra ara, when that land is returned, tadu labar miperi. It should be returned without the fruits because the original owner was forgiving. He was moichel, you said. Aloma Rav Nachman, hadra ara, v'hadra peri. So why does Rav Nachman say that when the land is returned, in that case, to the previous owner, it's returned along with the value of the fruits of those 2 years? So you see that mechila is not part of the equation. Elo Omar Rava, Shosu Kamaisa Lo Kopid, Inish, Tarti Lo Kopid, Tlas Kopid. 1 year, 2 years, a person is not mindful, he's not makbid. And therefore, use of a field for 2 years is not indicative of a sale having taken place. But if a person remains in use of a field for 3 years, a previous owner, if he is in fact still the owner, he would be makpid, he would be mindful. And if he hasn't protested, so that's a sign that the occupant is the real owner. So the difference, as you can see quite clearly, between the first approach of Rava and the second is that in the second approach, there's no mechila, and therefore if within the 2 years the field is returned, it will be returned, like Rav Nachman said, with the fruits. According to your analysis, that it's based on kepeda, that only when you reach a point in time that an original owner would be makbid and he remains silent, that's a sign that he's no longer the owner. Well, if using that reasoning, there's a family known as the Baril Yoshev family. They're very mindful. They're very particular and unrelenting. They are mindful of even the most minor form of trespass. Would you say that in a case where the Bar El Yoshev were the previous owners, an occupant of their land would gain a chazoka immediately? Because if you're using the Makbid standard, when you reach the Makbid point and there's silence, that would indicate there's a chazoka. So in their case, immediate silence on their part, are you saying that equals a chazoka? The chitema hachinami, and if you say that's right, that's the case, well then in Cain, osata de brecha l'shirin, then we have a halacha that becomes very subjective. That's the expression, osata de brecha l'shirin, is an expression that indicates you have a halacha that lacks uniformity, and that's not the way halacha is formulated. Elo omar rova. Well, here's the third stage of Rava's analysis. Shosa kamaisa mizdari nish bishtori. The first year that a person is in a field that he claims he bought, he will be careful of his shtar, of his title, the bill of sale, tarti utlas mizdar. The second year, a third year, a person will be careful. However, tfei, beyond 3 years, lo mizdar, a person is not careful, is not expected to be careful. And therefore, after 3 years, even if he cannot produce a bill of sale, but he has witnesses that he was there and using the field, and he claims, of course, that he bought it, that's enough. Well, if that's the analysis, a protest that's not in front of the occupant should not be considered an effective protest. In what sense? The Omar Le, the Machzik, the occupant, has room to say, Imochis Ban Poi, if you would have protested in my presence, in order to come up to me and protest, and have a Mizda'ar No Bishtori, I would have been careful with the document. I would have been careful to watch it. So that if, as Rava says, that chazok is based on care of shtar, if the protest is not issued in front of the owner, of the occupant, that is, it should be considered an ineffective protest, and the occupant would gain a chazoka even if the original owner issued a protest, but not in his presence. And we know that's not the case. We know, and we discussed this earlier in today's shiur, that a protest on the part of a previous owner, even not in the presence of the occupant, is considered an effective protest. But just to repeat, if the chazok is based on care of shtar, and an occupant has room to say, had you come to my face, then I would have been careful with the shtar, otherwise Otherwise, I wasn't careful. I didn't hear your protest. So the Gemara responds, that is not a question. The Omar Lay, the previous owner, can tell the occupant that even without my actually coming up to you personally and protesting, you were still well aware of the protest and you should have been careful. Chavroch, chavro islay. Chavro islay. Your friend has a friend and your friend's friend has a friend, and by word of mouth, you would have, you certainly would have known about my protest. So that a protest, even not issued in the presence of the owner, of the occupant, if issued within the first 3 years, that would have put the occupant on notice to watch the shtar. And if he doesn't have the shtar, when the eventually when the previous owner confronts him after having issued the protest, the chazaka will not be effective. The fact that he was there is not going to be effective. If, however, 3 full years go by, at that point we have no expectation of the occupant to have be in possession of the shtar anymore. We now turn back to the Tosis on Chav Ches Omid Aleph, the beginning of the Perek. First Tosis, Cheskes Habatim Ubeis Habatim. This, of course, is a Tosis referring to the very beginning of the Mishnah. You notice in our marked Tosfosim, we dashed on the line Beis Habatim. Beis Habatim are olive presses, and in the Mishnah we were taught that in order to gain a chazaka on an olive press, you would have to be in use over the course of 3 years on a daily basis. Pirush Ri Bar Mordechai, Taha Disnad Beperek Chomer BeKedush. That which is taught in the third parak of Maseches Chagiga is called Chomer BeKedush. It says there, Avru Hagisois Vabadim. That's an expression that you see over there. That and that expression means that if the gisos is a gas, is a wine press, bottom olive press, if the gisos and bottom season has passed, well, what does that expression convey then? Demash mashiyesh lahen zman kovua. That would indicate that they have a fixed season, not in use all year. So how can our Mishnah speak about the use of a Beis Habad throughout the year? So the Rebar Mordechai explains, Hainu, Sheroiv Oilam Dorchim Oz Bizman Lakita. The Gemara Chagiga is referring to the majority practice. The majority press their olives at the time of the harvest. Havliyesh B'nei Adam, and this is what's significant for us, there are people, Shematznian kol hashana, they store away. Matznian, literally, they hide, but it means they store away their olives over the course of the year. Vedorchen b'mat mat, and they press them in small quantities throughout the year. And our Mishnah expects one who purchased a press and is going to rely, we'll say, on a chazaka to verify his ownership, he would have to use it like that. And so throughout the year, not just in the, let's say, the major pressing season. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Shloisha, Shloisha Chadoshim Barishona. This is a reference to the Mishnah, 6 lines from the top. And we saw this under Rabbi Shmuel's name, that when it comes to rain fields, it's a Beis Habal, and 18 months, 3 months, 3 last months of the first year, and 3 first months of the third year, and a full 12 months representing the second, the middle year. We have a nosei slash mivne heading for this tesis. A diamond is featured, and you'll see it highlights Rashi, and later the Re. The Re, you'll see the first of the lines after the narrow lines finish. What we're going to highlight now is what you'll see as you go through the tesis. Cholkin, the Rashi and the Re argue b'ma heim hadrishay shel Rabbi Shmuel kedei la'asi chazoka. What are Rabbi Shmuel's demands or expectations in order to achieve a chazaka? Befrat begimel chadoshim betchila ubesof shel yudches achadoshim shelo. With the focus on the 3 months of the first year and the 3 months of the last year. You will see, according to Rashi, Rabbi Shmuel is expecting there to be a planting and a harvest during those 3 month periods. Now, that's an interesting demand. You're basically expecting the crop in this rain field situation to be planted and completed and harvested within 3 months. Well, that is Rashi's approach. Later we'll see the Re tells us that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require planting and harvesting, but rather even one or the other is enough, as we'll see later. Now the Tosfos. So Shloisha Chadoshim Barishayna Mitok Birsha Kuntris Mashma. From Rashi, it seems Deboi Rabbi Yishmael Shu Yizra V'Yitzor Ba'Oison Shloisha Chadoshim Rishayim. That Rabbi Yishmael expects the occupant to plant and harvest in those first 3 months. V'Chein Bachronim, and likewise the last 3 months. V'Ein Tema Shetehei Tvua Nizras Achar Nisan Gdeil B'Gimel Chadoshim. It's not out of the ordinary. It's not something wondrous that grains planted after Nisan would grow in 3 months. V'Ein Zmano Ad Nisan Haba. Even though the time, the expected time is a year later. He cites a precedent for this. The Motzinon Ke'ein Zeh, we find something similar to this. Damrina Barosh Hashanah, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it says, Kol Tvua Hanikzeres B'chag, any grains that are harvested Sukkot time, B'yodua Shevi'o Shlish Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. That means it grew a third before Rosh Hashanah. So a third grew before Rosh Hashanah. That means then 2/3 grow in 2 weeks. Alma Gedela Pe'amim or Pamayim Bo'isuz Man. So that in that time you can have 2 crops. So that if you were to have a planting after Nisan, of the middle year, so you'll have a planting after Nisan, and in a couple months get a harvest, and another planting before the next time period, and get an additional harvest. We'll be a little more specific as we go on in the Tosfos. Aval kashi l'ri, according to what we just said, if you calculate what we just said, in other words, you can have a planting and harvest around the Rosh Hashanah time, harvesting a crop at Sukkot, and then from Nisan to Nisan, another 2 crops. So, im kein, amai tzorach yud ches chadoshim. Why the need for 18 months? Betes vav chadoshim sagi. 15 months would be enough to get 3 crops. As follows. Shiyizra gimul chadoshim lifnei nisan. V'yitzav nisan. Plant some crop of grain 3 months before Nisan. Harvest that first crop in Nisan. Shnia b'soif ha-kayetz, a second crop plant and harvest by the end of the summertime. Ushlishis b'Nisan haba, and a third crop by next Nisan. We have a little diagram to illustrate this. You can see that we begin in the month of Teves. You have Teves, Shvat, Adar, and you'll have a planting in Teves, a harvesting in Nisan, and a another time period that we call Sofa Kayetz, where you have a planting and a harvesting, and a third planting and harvesting, culminating with the second Nisan. There you go. 3 crops over 15 months. So where does Rabbi Shmuel come off, according to this, with 18 months? Yesh lomar. Tetzorach achila chashuva sheyud beis be'emtza. My feeling here is that you have to emphasize the word be'emtza. In order to gain a chazaka, you've got to have a achila chashuva, a significant time period in the middle. 12 significant, 12 months that constitute achila chashuva, specifically in the middle. Afogav the Amrim b'Gemara, ochal t'lasperi l'tlosa yarchi. Even though the Gemara does say that if you consume 3 crops in 3 months, kagon aspasta on the Rabbi Shmuel avichazoka, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who is the shita we're dealing with right now, you gain a chazoka. Shiny hasam, that's different. Lefisha, who's man shelo? In the case of aspasta, that's its time period. That's its full time period. The aspasta plant, from planting to harvest, is a 1 month development. So you can't stretch it out anymore in order to get 3 crops. But in general, you would have to have, like we said, for a chazoka, 12 months in the middle, and 3 months before and 3 months after, for a total of 18 months. Avol kosheleri, Tamrina b'Gemara, the Ri raises a question here that, based on the Gemara, we have not learned yet. The Gemara analyzes what's the point of difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. These two shittas we saw in our Mishnah, but the Gemara analyzes on Lamed Vav what's the difference between them. The Gemara says, "Pira Rabba, Pira Zuta Ikabinayu." Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, that's the point of difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, is something called Pira Rabba versus Pira Zuta. Pira Shakuntris, the Rabbi Shmuel Sava, Pira Rabba. What does that phrase mean? Kagain Sayurim, Ushibul Shual, Shigedalim, Begimel Chadoshim. Sarim, or translate often as barley. Shibul Shual, another one of the 5 grains. They grow over 3 months. Rabbi Akiva, Savar, Pira, Zuta. What does that mean? Zuta means something that's small or short. Kagon, Yerek, Hagoda, B'chidish Echad. What is Pira, Zuta? That which grows in 1 month. For Amrina, B'gamara, Das Pasta, B'chidish Echad, Havi, Chazaka. We saw in the Gemara that, according to Rabbi Ishmael, that which grows in 1 month constitutes a chazaka. So why is it that Rabbi Ishmael requires Pira Rabba, a 3-month development, when a 1-month development is sufficient if you're dealing with something like aspasta, which in Gemara terms would appear to be a pira, an example of pira zuta, but Rabbi Shmuel himself acknowledges that that is a legitimate way of gaining a chazaka. The nira lari, the low boy Rabbi Shmuel, she yizra hatvua v'yitzar. According to the Ri, in contrast to Rashi, Rabbi Shmuel does not expect the occupant, the machzik, to plant and harvest. Elafilu zoro harishon, even if the previous owner did the planting and the current, the machzik, harvests that, oihu yizraena mishloisha chadoshim achreinim afa bishalo katsra, or the machzik plants the third year, which is represented by the last unit of 3 months, he plants, even if he doesn't actually harvest it, that is enough. Ubaha pligi. And Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva argue as follows. To Rabbi Shmuel Sovar, Bo'ino Shie Godel Hapri Birushuso Harbe, Kagon Shloisha Chadoshim. Vahainu Piro Rabo. What is Piro Rabo that Rabbi Shmuel requires? That it should grow over 3 months. That's a, we'll say, a significant, significant amount of time of growth of plant in your possession. Rabbi Kiva Sovar, Dein Tzorch Shigdal Bishuso L'Chedesh Echad. Vahainu Piro Zuta. It's enough if it grows in your possession or during your occupancy of the land for 1 month. That's the 1 month at the beginning and the 1 month at the end. The it seems to me that there's still room to ask why is Rabbi Shmuel requiring this idea of significant growth 3 months when he acknowledges before, as Tosis himself pointed out by regarding the aspasta, that 1 month times three, the Marsha points that out, we noted that on the side of our marked Gemaras, but a 1 month of growth in the case of aspasta is enough. Namely, of course, three crops of aspasta. So the Marsha, which is quoted in the Sefer Tosis Mavor, is sensitive to this issue and says that the difference between aspasta and the Pira Rabba that we refer to here, which is more the Aflamet Bov refers to, is that in the case of aspasta, you have both the planting and the harvesting. The entire deal, the entire development is 1 month. When that's it, those are the limits. Those are the extremes. The beginning is of the aspasta, it's planting, and its final stage, its harvesting, all takes place within a mere 1 month. So in a case like that, Rabbi Shmuel acknowledges that a chazoka can be gained through three aspasta crops. Masha'en kein, other kinds of crops which don't develop that rapidly, you would have to have them in your possession, under your control, for 3 months of its development. At this point, we have on the side a structural note. We call this Hemshech because we already introduced part of the Tosis structure earlier. Here we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. And we note on the side, Noisim, these, we'll see here, topics, Shamashutaf Lehem, Eich Masigim Chazokim Yoim Liyoim. How is it possible that there is use of the property in question on a daily basis? Kishikra Pula, Efshin Lusaimu Biyoim Yamayim, when the main activity, something you can finish in a day or two. Finish something in a day or two, finish it, use of the property in question, how is it that we expect of him the use of it over a 3-year period on a daily basis. Now, we go back to the Tosfos text. V'im Toymar, you might ask, Hech yehi nikur shiyachzik bo kol shloisha chadoshim rishonim o achronim. How is it going to be clear to the public, including the previous owner, to see this guy there, notice his use of it over 3 months? Kibyom echado bishnayim yuchal liktsor lizra. In a day, in 1 or 2 days, he can finish the harvest, if it's that example, the first 3 months, or the planting, as was the example in the last 3 months. We have a bracketed section, and on the side, in the starred note, we have written the following. Sagrayim marim, the use of the brackets here shows the ad kan ikur hakushya. We've stated the main question. B'soicham muva nisayon la'anois. Within the brackets, there's an attempt to answer it with the expression v'chi tema aval nidche, but what we attempt to say here will be rejected. So, just to once again to get a feel of the structure here, how is it where we've asked that the occupant, the machzik, will be expected to be there in constant use over a course of 3 months, when 1 or 2 days would be enough to accomplish either the harvest or the planting? And after the brackets, you can see Tosfos v'yesh lomar. Now, so in the brackets, v'chitema, you might say, well, it's true that the planting can be done in a day or two, but you might say shemenachesh es asodu misakno. He can be occupied in weeding the field and making improvements in that sense. That's not something you finish in a day or two. That's something you would be occupied with over the 3 months. Holo have you chazoka. That would not constitute a kind of use of the property that would warrant gaining a chazoka. Just to repeat, I know that sometimes we sound a bit repetitive, but we're dealing with major principles that have to be clear. The chazoka is gained only when you have a type of use of property that would, maybe for lack of better expression, that would incite the previous owner to raise an objection. If you are doing something to property that may belong to someone else, but it's actually helpful to the real owner, why would the real owner protest? He's all the more happy that the stranger, are improving his property. So to expect a chazoka to be gained through that kind of use, the kind of use that would not prompt, would not incite a previous or a real owner to protest, that doesn't show that you are the owner. His silence is not an indication that he has sold the field to you. His silence is simply, he's happy that someone else is doing his work. Midi dehave, a near, similar to near is plowing. Plowing, it's actually designed, we saw this earlier in our Masechta, it's a type of plowing that's designed to remove all kinds of weeds and unwanted grasses. The Omer lekamon, the lo have you chazoka. If I am in possession of a piece of property and I'm doing near to it, that doesn't enable me, the occupant who's doing the near, to gain a chazoka. Mishum de meimar omar, the original owner simply says, "Kol shiva de karba lael bo," without literally translating that phrase, it basically means, karba is a term meaning plowing, and that's what near is. So each plowing that he does, you're more than welcome to come and do my plowing. So that wouldn't prompt a previous owner to object and issue a protest. So once again, the question is, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, as, according to the Ri, that either planting and being there for 3 months or harvesting, being there for 3 months, is enough. What are you doing over the 3 months? Yesh lomar kagon she'ochlo shachas. That's what we referred to before, if I'm not mistaken, by the aspasto example. The occupant would be developing shachas, a plant that it grows rapidly, and you would be cultivating shachas during those 3 months, and that is what would enable you to be to gain a chazaka through constant presence over that time. However, the Gemara says also on Daf Lamed Vav that consuming shachas, that using the field for shachas, does not gain you a chazok. And here we're saying that that is how you would gain a chazoka. Hani mili, that is true, that shachas is ineffective. That's in a case where the shachas that you plant isn't going to, regenerate itself. The shayich lomar, in a case like that, where you're consuming the shachas, harvesting the shachas in a way that it's not going to regenerate, in a case like that, we would say, lav achsikis kemachsi inshi. Your use of the field is not in accordance with normal use of fields. And once again, that's a situation that would not prompt a previous owner to issue a protest. He wouldn't view you as someone that's trying to gain possession of the field. Lefikach lo chosh limchos. And since you were not machzikin, machzikinshi, the original owner was not, didn't consider protesting. And I know that we said this just before, chazoka is only through use that would prompt a previous owner to protest. If your use of the field was for shachas development in such a way that the grain would not be ruined the way other people do things, the shachas is a case where you would harvest it while it's still in a yerek stage. That's a a fresh stage, a green stage. It hasn't quite developed its give oil. It's the pod yet. So if you are using the field for shachas and harvesting it while it's still not completely mature, that is what people do. And havi chazoka, that would be a way of gaining a chazoka through using the field for shachas development. And that's what would be expected of the individual over those 3 months. Ube sode ilon debo rabbonon depli Rabbi Shmuel begemar miyom liyom gimel shanim. The Rabbonon we saw before, in our Gemara markings on Chav Chesam and Beis, we had a Roman numeral 2, a reference to the Rabbonon that argue with Rabbi Shmuel, and that they require 3 years on a daily basis, including a fruit field, a steilon, a tree field. In a case where you have a tree grove, you're not going to develop shachas there. You're not going to cultivate shachas. Shachas is a type of grass, grain growth, not pertinent, not relevant to a tree grove. What? How do you gain a chazoka over 3 years on a daily basis? Mikol mokom, iko lemeimar. There's still a way to gain, to achieve constant use. Kagon shezomer, umaki waits in latzmo. He's pruning the trees, and keeping the wood for himself. Even though pruning of the trees improves the trees, is beneficial to trees, just like we saw before with Nir, and we said that Nir would not gain a chazaka because it improves the field, it doesn't prompt protest on the part of the owner. Since after pruning the trees, he's also, the occupant is keeping the wood for himself. The expression we used before, welcome, come and plow, would be irrelevant, wouldn't be applicable here. Here, a previous owner, if he claims he still is the owner, he wouldn't watch someone else keep all that good wood for himself. So pruning and keeping the wood for himself, on the namely the occupant, would be a way of gaining a chazaka and conforming to the Rabbonon expectation of Gimel Shana Miyom Liyom, even in a tree field. V'oid Oimeri, the Achzik Bo B'chiyai Gavna. The Re suggests another way to gain a chazaka in conformity to the Yom Liyom requirement, where the occupant locks and fences in the field. The Noyel B'mafteach Vein Meniach Odom Likones. He locks it with a key, preventing anyone else from entering. We have a brackets here, and if we skip the brackets initially, the Tosis at the end says v'hashtosi shapir nami l'rabbonan de Rabbi Shmuel, and with this example of noel b'mafteach, we have another way of explaining things according to the Rabbonan, who were arguing with Rabbi Shmuel, as an additional way of gaining a chazaka of 3 years. The Tosis in the brackets, you'll see, raises a question on the effectiveness of Noel v'godar, but answers. So we read the bracketed section. The Amar b'Gemara tsunama b'may koni la. The Gemara asks, how would one gain a chazaka on tsunama? Tsunama is a piece of property that's rocky. It's not something you would cultivate. It's rocky property. How do you gain a chazaka on it? The local Omar doesn't say kagon shenol of the gadra, you fence it in and lock it up, giving you the impression that that's not a way of gaining a chazaka. Iko lemeimar, we can answer that question by explaining that the ein yila ma'ilis, the idea of locking up property, is not effective. Elim kin iko achila bado ozria. It's only if you also have consumption of that which is fenced in or planting it. Avnila greido lo mahani midi. But locking on its own, fencing and locking on its own, that really is not effective. Vashdosi shapir nami the rabbonon the Rabbi Yishmael. And as we explained before, with this we can answer the question of how did the Rabbanan enable you to get a chazaka if they require you to be there for 3 years from day to day. Here you have another method. We continue now with the Tosfos Dibur Maskil Shehein Yud Ches Chodesh, a reference to the Mishnah 8 lines from the top. We saw Shitas Rabbi Shmuel regarding the amount of time required for achieving a chazaka in a rain field, a Soda Beis Habal. And he said 3 months at the beginning, 3 months at the end, and 12 months in the middle. Well, with little mathematical knowledge, one can fairly easily calculate that adds up to 18 months. Was it necessary for the Mishnah to tell me that equals 18 months? Tema v'chi minyona asa ashminen. Is the Mishnah coming to tell us a calculation? Minyona literally is a number that you could calculate on your own. That's Tosfos' question. V'chihai gavna porich bekama duchti. In fact, this question is asked in numerous places. The Gemara itself asks this question. Here we don't ask the question, but that question is raised. V'leka lemeimar diritzufan osa lashminen. And you cannot say that by telling me that they equal 18 months is the Mishnah's way of telling me that we need the 18 months to be consecutive. Deem Cain, if that were the purpose of the number taught in the Mishnah, my komashulan Rav Huna, what would I need Rav Huna for on Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph, 20 lines from the top, where he tells us that you need Ritzufin. Uve Gemara Mashma de Mimasis Lave Sham Inon de Boinon Ritzufin Ilo Dashminon Ravuna. From the Gemara, it seems that from the Mishnah, I wouldn't have known that you need Ritzufin consecutive 18 months if not for the fact that Rav Huna tells me that information. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Kines. And on our marked Tosfos pages, oh, it's the second one of the pages dedicated to Daf Chof Ches. This refers to the Mishnah 11 lines from the top, Kines es Tvoso, and we mentioned that this is a reference to grapes. And the Mishnah went on to say, after Kines es Tvoso Mosak es Zesov, the Kines es Kaitso, which is a reference to Te'inim. Before we get into the Tosfos text, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written the following. Loma b'mishnah nechshav Kines es Kaitso, which is a reference to Te'inim, acharei yayin v'shemen. Why is the ingathering of the figs mentioned after wine and oil? It means the grapes and the olives. Bizman shelechayra ateinim mukdam lahem. In reality, seasonally, figs are earlier. So now the Tosfos. Kines es tevua. So lahachi kori le lekerem tevua. The Mishnah said kines es tevua, so it's a reference to tevua, usually is translated as grains. But here we're referring to kerem. Kerem is a vineyard. Why is the term tevua used for a kerem? Mishum dechtiv, the pasuk in the Torah says utvuas akerem. So the word tevua is used in conjunction with kerem. V'im toimar, tenach ha detana tevua kerem zesim. Granted that which it that there's a reference to tevua, meaning the wine, before zesim, diayin kedem l'shemen, kiamrinu beizu neshech. We know that the wine season is before the oil season. As it says in the fifth parak of Bava Metzia, parak Ezu Neshech, it says there, higi azman yayin limkor uvosr hachikomar higi azman limkor shemen. Without, there's no need to get into the details of the sugya over there in the Gemara, but the order is what we want to see. It speaks about the time for the sale of wine, followed by the time for the sale of oil. Elo kines es kaitso, amai toni le bosor hachi. Why is the ingathering of the figs stated in the Mishnah after them? Ha te'enim kadmi. The figs are earlier. Daha omar b'hamekabel. It says in Perek HaMekabel in Bava Metzia the following, Chatzi Nisan V'yor, Chatzi Sivan V'chatzi Sivan is Kotzir, the second half of the month of Nisan, and the month of V'yor and the first half of the month of Sivan is a reference to the time period of harvesting. Chatzi Sivan V'tamuz V'chatzi Av Kayetz. This is really the part of the quote that we want to emphasize. You see a reference to the month of Av, Kayetz. Kayetz is a reference to ingathering of figs, dried figs. Vilu botsir. Botsir is the word used for harvest of grapes. Hoya b'tishrei. Now you can see we've dashed underline the word Av, the month of Av, and the month of Tishrei. Av, when you start your month counting from Nisan, Av appears on the calendar before Tishrei. Av is associated with Te'enim, and Tishrei is associated with Anovim. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section covering a number of lines of the Tosfos. We have a starred note on the side which reads Ad Hasograim Royim Ikir Hakusha. The main question has been presented at this point already. So we have, it's clear to us what the issue is. B'soicha Muva Kama Hoichochos Tabotziru B'Tishrei. Within the bracketed section, there'll be a number of proofs that a grape harvest is in Tishrei. U'memelo Te'enim Shehem B'Kayetz Kodmim. And it therefore follows that Te'enim, which are in the summer months, are earlier. You'll notice after the brackets, we see V'yesh Lomar, that where we see a response. Also, at that point, we'll have a new marking that we'll want to explain, but we'll wait for it then. So now, focusing on the bracketed section, and there's also, within the brackets, you see a triangle. And under our Mivneh structural note, we indicate Sidro Shel Oichochos de Botzir Anovim B'Tishrei, a series of proofs that the harvest of grapes is in Tishrei. That's what we want to emphasize. The details of the sukkis that are going to be quoted here is not something that we're going to preoccupy ourselves with. Just noting that in these Sukkis, Tishrei is associated with the grape harvest. Now the Tosfos in the brackets, Kedamrino Bebrochus, the Omerlu Rava LeRabbanon, in the sixth parak of Brochus, you see Rava talking to his students and saying B'matusa Minaychu, which is an expression that means please, Lo Sischazi, don't come to me, don't appear to me. In other words, Rava would give Torah lectures, and he says during the months of let me read that again. Lo sischazu kamoi lo biyom in Nisan v'lo biyom in Tishrei. Don't come in the months of Nisan nor in the month of Tishrei. Now the reason for Rava saying that is that those were months that his students should be preoccupied with their income, their agricultural work, and we focus on the reference that Rava makes to Tishrei because that's the time that they should invest in their grape harvest. Tishrei was for the grape harvest. And Femrinami was Sanhedrin, and in Maseches Sanhedrin it says Ganav Nisan v'Ganav Tishrei lo shmei Ganav v'Hani Mili b'Arisa v'Dover Muat. Refers to someone who takes things, we'll say, unlawfully, and so called a reference here to the word to a thief, and he steals in Tishrei. What's this a reference to? Tishrei is the month for Avodas Hayayin, for working with the grape harvest, and the Gemara there refers to them, to these workers, the arisos, the sharecropper, helping himself to a little more than is due to him for him to receive percentage wise. What we want to emphasize though is that in the month of Tishrei he is working on the grape harvest. The Amrinon Bezuneshech, and another quote from the fifth parak above Metzia, it says there Chozi Mor Lanu Rabona Diavi Dumei Domi. Domi is money. There, the Gemara describes the rabbis that would pay money in advance, chamra, for wine, b'tishrei, u'mifrilu b'teves. And once it would start fermenting and developing into a final wine product in teves, they would then choose the best ones for after having advanced their money for it in Tishrei when the grapes were harvested. Mikol Elu Mashma, from all of these sources, it seems, the Botzir, the harvest of grapes, Hava B'Tishrei. Ukvar Kolo HaKayetz. And that's a time at which the Kayetz is already past. And the Kayetz is the season associated with the ingathering of the figs, the dried figs. So the question is, once again, in the order of the fruits mentioned in the Mishnah, it would have stood to reason that in the list, the Ta'anim, the figs, should have been mentioned first, because they preceded the wine and the olives. V'yesh Lomar. Now, we have a volcano shape, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, we indicate these highlight Gishos Shonos B'ma Nechshav Tchilas HaShona, different approaches to how to consider or what to consider as the beginning of the year. L'cheshban Knesis Peres Ho'elu Amnuya B'mishnah, with regard to how to calculate the order of the fruits mentioned in the Mishnah. Approach one, Minison Moninon, is, as we've been working with this idea till now, we count from Nisan, and the Rach says that you start your counting from Tishrei. Well, if you start your counting from Tishrei, then it's going to be very clear that the grape harvest is mentioned first. But that's the Rach's approach. Now we turn back to the Tosfos, V'yesh Lomar, Toha Dekori Kayetz, V'chatzi Sivan, V'tamuz V'chatzi Av. The fact that we use the word Kayetz for those months, L'fisha'oz Iker Yoivish Shel Te'enim Be'ilon, that is the main time during which the figs dry out while still on the trees. However, in practical terms, they're not cut from the tree until after the grape harvest. This bow tie shape is highlights the, we'll call it, the lateness of the figs. So you'll see the bow tie here and another one that follows. Inami, another approach to explaining the positioning of the figs. Leiktin Isai Kedem Chatzi Av. The figs were actually gathered from already Chatziav, in the first half of the month of Av. That reading of Chatziav is in accordance with the Rashmi de Soya. He changes the text here. Umanichin Oisoi Uyabesh, and they would be left in the fields for drying purposes, dried figs. The lo have zman knisos lebayis ad la'achar tvuas hakerem. The time for gathering them in from the fields into their houses, that took place after the grape harvest. V'ha delo havia lekita chazaka, that which the actual picking of the figs doesn't constitute the chazaka. This approach is saying that's the ingathering of the already picked figs into your house, that constitutes the chazaka. So, but the picking from the trees, not. Ki shema hoy regilin liavshin ba'oisus sara atzma shegod lusham. Could be that they actually dried the figs out in the very field that they grew. Ulekach lo hagi chazaka shiviim lebeso. And therefore, since that very field in which they grew continued to be in use for the figs, so the use of that field for the figs isn't complete until they're gathered into the house. And that's after the grape harvest. V'rach meforesh kines tvoso b'tishrei, u'mosak ezesov b'shvat, v'kines kaitso b'av, areizu chazoka. The Rach explains the order and cites the months for each one. In Tishrei, the grapes were gathered in, the harvest of the olives in the month of Shvat, and Kines Kaitso, the gathering of the figs, Ba'af. Harezu Chazoka, that would create a Chazoka with regard to that property where these three fruits were cultivated. Nimseis Chazoka B'shonachas. From here you see that in 1 year a Chazoka is gained. In other words, you go from the month of Tishrei till practically the end of the year Av, only one month follows, that's Elul. So you gain a Chazoka in 1 year. V'noka Kaseder Zeh, and this order was chosen, Mishum de Tishrei Hu Tchilas Hashona. Tishrei is considered the beginning of the year. We refer to Aleph Tishrei as the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, they mean the beginning of the year. That's the Rach's approach. Avol, Hoya Yoiser Miyushav, Ihave Toni, Lu Keseder Gishme Shona, Shehen Gedelem Aleihem. It would have been more appropriate to have as the order the growth of the of these respective fruits as they relate to the water, the rain water that provided for their growth. Now the Marsha adds that when we speak about rain, the beginning of the rain is called, the rainy season is called the Yoreh, which is in Cheshvan, and the end of the rainy season is called the last rainfall, is called Malkoish, which is in the month of Nisan. Now you have these, we'll call them these summer fruits that develop. Their water source was from the rains we just delineated. And therefore the order should have been the figs first. The figs are gathered in Av. They grew based on the waters that fell earlier that year. So they were the first ones to be ready based on the rain that preceded them. And the order then should have been Kines Kaitso, and then the Kines Tvuasai, which is where the grapes become ready only later on in Tishrei, where the grapes that you gather in Tishrei are grapes that develop based on the water that fell in the rain earlier that year. Earlier, I should make, technically speaking, the year before, but Tosus says that a most logical order of listing them would be in the order of their readiness based on the rain that had fallen earlier that year during the rainy season. We continue with the next Tosus, Dibur HaMaschil E. This is a reference to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. We were taught that the reference to three of Rabbi Shmuel of the Holche three taught in the Mishnah, the 3 years taught in the Mishnah under Rabbi Shmuel is learned from Shor Muad, the goring ox. And the Gemara asked, "E ma Shor Muad ad negicha Revius?" If you're going to be learning from Shor HaMuad, then shouldn't payment for the Shor HaMuad doesn't set in until the fourth goring. When we were learning the Gemara, we highlighted that point, that the Nezek Sholem is paid only upon the fourth goring. We have a nosei mivne heading that's appropriate for this thesis. We have a double underline marking highlighting the expression Chozer Bo Rashi, and we say this simun litzor kesher im ha-hemshech. We're marking this off to create a connection between that which you see now and that which will be presented later. We've marked the names Rashi and Harav Ezra. We'll see in shortly in the Tosfos. These are Deos Behavonas Divraim Shel Abaye Verova Bedroshes Apostle Tmoil Shel Shoim, that you find in the case of Shor HaMoed, that's in the Torah, in Sefer Shmois, Perek Chav Aleph Pasuk Chav Tes, where the pasuk says, "Vim Shor Nagahu Mitmol Shel Shom Vuad Bevolav Lo Yishmerenu Veimisish," etc. Now let's turn to the Tosfos. Mikan Chozar Bo Rashi Mimashi Meforsh Bo Vakama Gabi Ho Depligi Abaye Verova, based on what we see here in this Gemara, Rashi reverses that which he had explained in Maseches Bava Kama in his description or his explanation of the Machlokas Abaye and Rova. The Omer Abaye, and what the Tosfos is doing now is he's citing the Gemara Bava Kama, where Abaye and Rova have present their approaches to the pasuk that we quoted just before. Tmoil chad mitmol trei shilshom tlas. This is a reference to the owner of an ox that gored. Tmoil would be a reference to one goring. Mitmol, the word is actually mitmol shilshom in the pasuk. So Abaye darshins the word without the beginning mem, and then the entire word that then gets you to tray, two gorings. Shilshom is tlas. That's a reference to the third goring. V'lo yishmeru balov, that phrase that's in the pasuk, ason l'negicha revius. That's a reference to a fourth goring, at which point full payment would then be made. The Rava Amar Tmoil Mitmoil Chadhu. Rava in Bava Kama doesn't see any significance in darshaning the mem that would have yielded a separate joshua for Tmoil and then Mitmoil. So in as far as Rava is concerned, Chadhu, it's one. The Abaye Savar, the Ad Negicha Revius Lo Mechayev, according to this approach, Abaye holds that the full payment is not made until the fourth goring. The Rava Savar, the Chayev Benegicha Shlishis. According to Rava, full payment would be made at the third goring. That is what Rashi said regarding the Machlokas Abaye and Rava in Bava Kama. And now Rashi was Chozer Bo. He backed out of that explanation based on our Gemara over here. Our Gemara is stating as a matter of fact. It's not a Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Stating as a matter of fact, our Gemara said that if you're learning from Shor HaMoed, then a chazaka should be gained after the fourth year, because until the fourth goring you don't have full payment. So you see from this Gemara that the full payment is made for the fourth goring. If you're going to stick with Rashi in Bava Kama, who said that? That would be in accordance with Abaye, but we know that when you have a machlokas Abaye and Rava with the six exceptions of Yalkagam, we always rule like Rava. And Rova therein, Bava Kama, according to Rashi, had full payment made after the third, for the third goring. And therefore, it's necessary to say that Rashi changed his mind from that explanation. The Im Kain, if not, namely, if you're going to say that Rashi sticks with that explanation, namely, that only according to Abaye is full payment made for the fourth goring, Have Masik Hocha Gemara Dolo Kilchisa, the Kaimalon Gerava Lagabi Abaye. The result would be that our Gemara here is not according to the accepted halacha, because we know that we accept Rava over Abaye, and Rava there, according to Rashi, said that full payment is made at the third goring, and yet we want our Gemara to represent the halacha, because as we suggest that our Gemara is not presenting a point that seems to be controversial at all. So our Gemara would have to, which is saying that the full payment is made at the fourth goring, would have to be a shita that represents Rava. And now Tosfos spells out, when we say that Rashi backed out, what do we mean by that? The Chozar Boy Rashi Upiresh. Rashi reversed what he said in his explanation of Abaye and Rava there, and explains the Mashmois Dorshani Kabinayu, that there's no difference between Rava and Abaye in halachic terms. It's just a question of how to see the halacha from the drushes of the psukim. In other words, they have a different drush approach to get to the same goal. Namely, that according to Rava as well, only upon the fourth goring is there full payment. For Rabbeinu Ezra Meforesh, Devadai Lekuleyama Lo Mechayev Ad Revius, it's clear that everyone holds, not just Abaye but Rav as well, holds that full payment is made only after the fourth goring. Aval beha pligi. However, it's in the following that Rava and Abaye disagree. The Abaye the mapik negicha revius mikra delo yishmerenu, according to Abaye that learns the fourth goring, which will generate the full payment from the expression v'lo yishmerenu in the pasuk, im nogach negicha revius b'yom shlishi lo mechayev. According to Abaye, the fourth goring takes place on the third day, so then in this scenario, we'll just cite a simple example. Day one, one goring. Day number two, a second goring. On day number three, that's Yom Gimel, third and fourth gorings. According to Abaye, who darshins the fourth goring for full payment from the expression, a separate expression of the pasuk lo yishmerenu, if the fourth goring took place on the third day, there would be no payment, no nezek shalem payment. Ad shigach b'yom revi. Why? The lo yishmerenu koi ayomim dumya detmoil shilshal. Thus the expression the lo yishmerenu is a expression reflecting back on the days referred to. So that if you had Tmol being one goring, and then Mitmol, a separate goring, each goring has its own day. In other words, there's not going to be an additional payment because of two gorings on one day. So that Abaye, who darshins the fourth goring, which will generate the full payment from a separate phrase, the lo yishmerenu, that means it is to be viewed like dumya detmol shilshom, separate days. Aval Rava the negicha revius lo ksiva b'adyam, according to Rava, that the fourth goring is not accounted for in an explicit fashion in the pasuk. Even if the fourth goring took place on the third day, that fourth goring on the third day according to Rava, will generate a Nezek Shalem payment. We continue now with Tosfos Ad Negicha Revius Lo Mechayev. This is a reference to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara was of the feeling that since we're learning from the gorings of the Shor Hamuad, and their full payment takes place only after the fourth Negicha, maybe Chazaka is achieved after 4 years of presence. Tema Lari. Demai Porich, the Ri wants to understand what is the Gemara's suggestion here. What's it even asking? Ha, Hachi Yalif Mishor Hamuad. The following is what the intention of the Holcheusha to learn from Shor Hamuad is thusly. Ma Hosam Huchsuk Nakon Shalosh Pamim. Just like by the Shor Hamuad, it is Huchsuk Nachon, it achieves the status of a goring ox after three times. Achinami, so too by Chazoka, Huchsuk Shaskon B'Shalosh Pamim. The previous owner gains the status of one who was silent after 3 years. Im Kain, Mishalosh Shana Veilech, Komale B'Shusei. And at that point, then it's obvious that after 3 years, the occupant gains the chazaka. So the Re is bothered by what is bothering the Gemara. It seems fairly obvious that after 3 years you get a chazaka because that's when there is a status change. Namely, the previous owner enters the status of a shaskan, just like the Shor Hamuad after three gorings is categorized as a goring animal. The Omeri, the Salkadait of the Makshe, the thinking of the questioner in the Gemara when raising the possibility of a fourth year being necessary, his thinking was that the Limud from Shor Hamuad is as follows. Ma hosa mechinogach gimel pomim nofak le mechatzi nezek le nezek shalem. Hochinami kevan sheochle sholoshonim velo micho nafkele mirshus mocher lirshus lokeach. Af agav de milse belo taimahu. The thinking was that just like by Shor, by the ox, after three gorings, it leaves the requirement, or it relieves the half nezek payment, the half damage payment, and enters the realm of now having to pay full damage. So too, having used the field for 3 years, and the previous owner remaining silent, not protesting, it leaves original owner's domain, enters purchaser's domain. Even though there's no connection to the Shor Hamuad per se, but with this type of limud, with this type of comparison, namely from half payment to full payment, there's now grounds for suggesting, if the status change is a payment-related status change, then you don't see the full payment made until actually a fourth goring takes place. Likewise, the suggestion for chazaka being achieved only after 4 years of use. We continue now with the Tosfos, beginning of Omid Beis, Dibur HaMaschil Ela. I want to point out, though, this is Ela, we're calling this Ela number one, because there is the next Tosfos afterwards also begins with the same Ela Me'ata Dibur HaMaschil, which we'll call it then Ela number two. So the top Tosfos refers to the Gemara two lines from the top of Chof Ches Amud Beis. Elo me'ato chazoka she'ein imo taina. If you're learning, as the Gemara said, from Shor Hamuad, so in the case of the Shor Hamuad, the occurrence of three gorings is that which is enough to classify it as a Shor Hamuad. Therefore, the use of 3 years of the field should be enough without any additional claims. Tema, my salka daitoch de makshe. In suggesting this, what was on his mind? What was on the questioner's mind in suggesting that a chazoka should be attainable without a taina? Dehechi motziluk me biyodei kevin de lotoi midi. How could we maintain the field of the possession of the occupant of the machzik without any claim to the field? So the suggestion of let him, the occupant, remain there without any claim, then what's his basis for being there? V'yesh lomar, d'hachi porach. Tosfos explains what was the havamina in raising this suggestion. Came in the Alphys Mishor Hamuad, since you're learning from the Goring Ox, Mahosim Bisholz Negichos Havi Becheskes Nakhon, just like over there with three Gorings, it gains the status of a Goring animal. Hochanami, Cave on the Ochle Sholosh Shonim Velo Micha, Havio Becheskes Shaloim Choid. The use of the field for 3 years without the previous owner protesting, he, original owner, enters the category of one who is not going to protest anymore. Ubalo taina nami tehe shalo, and even without any additional claim on the occupant's part, let it be his. The islon lememar, there is grounds for us to think shemochal lo, that previous owner was forgiving, was moichel it to him, relinquished it to the occupant, so that the occupant's claim to it, so to speak, is simply through the original owner's relinquishing it to him. So he, occupant, wouldn't have to make any further claim. Inami, ha de kaporech. Another approach is that which the Gemara asks Lameimra, that which the Gemara asks Lameimra, the chazoka shelo betaina tehe chazoka, are you suggesting here that a chazoka that occupancy without any additional claim is sufficient? Hainu kagon di omar le, the circumstances are when the machzik says the following: Miplanyo zavinto dezavno minoch. I bought the field from so and so, who bought it from you. Afagav de lo omar kami di dezavno, even though he does not say, the occupant does not say, that the seller to me bought it from you in my presence, and I was there. So he doesn't say that. Velo dor bo afilu chad yoimo. And the one that I bought it from didn't live in, if it's a house, he didn't live there even one day. Velo yoda I zavno mine ilo. And he doesn't know whether he bought it. When I say he, it means the one who sold it to the current occupant. And I don't know whether he bought it from you or not, other than that's what he says. So the occupant is actually saying something, but it's called a chazoka shelo b'taina, because it's lacking the first-hand awareness or knowledge on the part of the occupant that the original owner had sold it to the, we'll call him the intermediary, the middle guy. So he's there with a claim, but not a claim that has any real substance to it. Hence, it's called a chazoka she'eni motaina. We continue with a long question. Teimo lo Rashba. Ha demibaya lo en perikitzer regel. The Gemara in the second parak of Bava Kama, in dealing with a shor hamuad. Muad is an expression meaning a tendency to, like a tendency to gore. The description or classification of tendency, is it a description of the animal, or is it a description of the owner of the animal? That is the discussion in Bava Kama. And there it says, I liudei tura, I liudei gavra. There the Gemara seems to be unclear and has to debate, has to analyze. Are we making the animal muad, or are we making the owner muad in recklessness, in irresponsibility, in not watching his animal? Tifsho mehocha, why not conclude from here, namely that cheska sholoshanim is learned from the shor hamuad, from the shor's three gorings, learn from here, liudei turahu, that the establishment of a shor hamuad, tura is a shor hamuad is a function of it, the animal's gorings. And why is that so clear from our Gemara? Midekoamri holcheusha, from the fact that holcheusha says here, ma shor hamuad kimon shenogaf kimon indicha is nafko leim v'chule, just like a shor hamuad. Once it gores three gorings, it leaves the status of shor tam and becomes a shor hamuad. Yilu de gavra, if we were establishing the owner as being reckless, as being irresponsible, that status is established lo miayid ad negicha revius. That is established only after the fourth goring. Dioz hu muad lavor bahasrois. Then he becomes muad, prone to ignoring warnings. Dekeshenogach negicha shlishis. The Hisrubo, once the animal gored the third goring, and then that is followed with a warning, that would be the owner's third warning. Just to go over that point, there's an initial goring that wasn't preceded by a warning. There was an initial goring that's followed by a warning. A second goring followed by a warning. A third goring followed by a warning. That's the third warning. And that third warning occurs after the third goring. Lo adayin lo ovar al sholosh hasros. The owner hasn't violated three warnings ad shigach pam revius, until a fourth goring takes place. Then we say, since the owner allowed his animal to gore a fourth time, that shows us that he, the owner, is a violator of three warnings. And yet our Gemara emphasizes the muad status after three gorings. That would indicate that when we speak of a shor muad, it's yudei tura. It's a classification of the animal as being prone to goring, and not liudei gavra. So the Rashba, in looking at our Gemara, is then reflecting upon the Gemara in Bava Kama. Why is there at all a need to debate liudei tura u liudei gavra, when you see from our Gemara that a shor amud is established after three gorings, indicating clearly that the muad status is a status associated with the animal and not the owner. So why does the Gemara in Bava Kama have to debate the issue? V'yesh lomar desukya dehocha. The answer to that is that our Gemara here is keman de omar liyudei Torah, is in accordance with the opinion that the animal is that which is established as muad. V'hochi usha lo omru ela de gamrinon mishor hamuad velo yoser. And Hochi Usha was saying that the chazokah of 3 years is something that is learned from Shor Hamuad. Not that Hochi Usha necessarily has a stand, but Hochi Usha is using the Shor Hamuad format to establish the recurrence of three times. Three times and not more than that. V'yalfinon mishalosh hasros de gavra. And the Hochi Usha is learning from the fact that there were three warnings issued to the owner. V'lo mishalosh negichos de tura. And not from the three gorings of the animal. V'od de leman diyama liyudei gavra ein tzorach shiyu muchzokos lavar basros. And even according to the Mad Omar, the opinion that says that we're establishing the owner as muad, it's not necessary to say that the owner is now is muchzok as being a violator of warnings, the imkain. If that were the basis of saying liyudei gavra, he's a person who has the status of one who violates warnings. Dim kein ad negicho chamishis lo yechayev. Then one would argue that he is not obligated. He's not obligated to pay full payment until the fifth goring. And why is that? At the fourth goring, the owner only becomes labeled a violator. Now, as a violator of warnings, there, as having achieved that new status of violator of warnings, we don't have a goring that will mechayev him, that will obligate him to pay full damages until a fifth goring takes place. Let's read that again. Diim kein ad negicho chamishis lo yechayev ela tzorech shiyodi uhu b'chol pam kshigach kedesh yishmor shoro. Rather, our obligation is to inform the owner each time the animal gores. Watch your animal. He's issued an issue. A warning is issued in order to motivate him to watch his animal. Umikomokom chiyuva deshor talio bema shehusok ligach. The obligation of the animal is dependent upon its tendency to gore. Hence, no need to wait certainly for a fifth goring in order to establish muad status, and not no necessity even for a fourth goring for that purpose. Three gorings are enough. And as, even if you say, as Tosha said before, even if you say Yude Gavra, we're not trying to demonstrate that he is a person who's musuk as violating warnings, but rather he's a person who has received three warnings. And at what point will he have received three warnings? At the point that the ox has gored a third time. Following that third goring, you will then have a third warning. So the number three that's derived from Shor Hamuad, whether you are of the Yudei Tura opinion or the Yudei Gavra opinion, at the point that three gorings take place, you will have achieved the necessary number in order for us to describe it as a mu'ad situation. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Ela, number 2. This is a reference to the Gemara, 7 lines from the top. Elo me'ato, if you're learning from Shor HaMu'ad, then macho shelo b'fon of lote macho. A protest not done in front of the occupant should not be considered a reliable legal protest. Pirushri, ki eichi di yalfis mishor HaMu'ad dahave chazoka b'shor lo yisho zimni. Just like you're learning from Shor HaMu'ad that a chazokah takes place after three times it gores. Hachin, I mean, neilaf ma Shor HaMu'ad tzarech ador b'fonav v'lo omar kolo islay v'to'il. Just like by the Shor HaMu'ad, you need to have the testimony of its having gored in the presence of the owner, and we do not say that it's sufficient to rely upon the koil, the public awareness. Koil means the noise, the sound, the talk of the goring. That is not enough, and rather you need to have ha'odah b'fonav, and you cannot rely on the koil and say that's good enough. Hachinami, so too with regard to chazoka macho shelo b'fonav is lon lemeimar deles lekola velote chazoka. A protest on the part of the previous owner, not done in front of the occupant, shall not be considered a protest. Af api shishoma hachazoka. Even though the original owner, he himself heard of the occupant's presence there, came on the enkol macha, since there isn't enough sound to the protest, the ma hoya moyel im hoya moiche, of what benefit is there if the previous owner protests, given shelo tagia lemachzik machoso, since the protest is not going to reach the occupant. V'afagav shemacho bo levatel hachazoki, even though in trying to make this comparison between the testimony of the gorings and the protest of the previous owner, even though there's a lack of parallel in the following sense. The protest in the case of chazoka is coming to annul, to obliterate or void a chazoka. And the testimony is coming to establish. It's not coming to undo. The testimony about the animal goring isn't coming to undo any particular status. It's coming to establish a goring status. We call Malkum Parach Shapir. Even so, even though there's this lack of parallel, if you just focus on two words, one is coming to Mavatel and the other is coming Lekayim, nevertheless, the question is good. That if I'm going to learn Chazoka from Shor HaMu'ad, then I should conclude that Macho Shelo B'Fonav is not a good Macho, which we emphasized when we were learning tomorrow that that's simply not the case. Namely, that we know that we rely on Macho even if it's Shelo B'Fonav. But nevertheless, we're asking this, Gemara asked the question, if you're going to learn from Shor HaMu'ad, then let us conclude that Macho Shelo B'Fonav is not effective. V'ha denokat macho, v'lo nokat chazoka. That which the Gemara uses, the focuses on macho shelo b'fonav, and doesn't say chazoka. chazaka shelo b'fanav. Mishum the chazaka, as Tosis pointed out even earlier, the chazaka nishmas tfei me'alada. The use of the land, the use of, we'll call it the use of someone else's land, makes a lot of noise. That's well heard, more than testimony of a goring. Avol macha eino nishmas yoser, but a protest is not heard that well. Ubelo shor hamuad, and even without the issue of shor hamuad having motzi lemifrach, there still would have been room to ask the lotei macha. Let it be not considered a macha, namely a protest not done in front of the occupant. Of the occupant should not be considered a macha. Kideporach alibo de rabbanan, like the Gemara Daf Chof Tes Omid Aleph, 17 lines from the top, asks within the opinion of the rabbanan that don't learn chazoka from Shoah Mu'ar to begin with, and yet the Gemara asks the question of let it be that a macha shelo b'fonav is not considered a macha. Ela kevon de yolif mishor hamuad, since the Hochei Usha say that we learn from Shor Hamuad, Nicho Le Lemifrach Mine. It's more comfortable to ask from it. Namely, just like by Shor you need Hador Befonov, let us say that you need to have Macho Befonov. O Meshani, and the Gemara answers, Chavroch Chavro Isle V'yesh Koil Bein L'macho Bein La'odo. Because there is the phenomenon of word of mouth, there is a koil, there's enough noise, so to speak, whether you are referring to the macho or the protest in the case of Chazoka, protest part of the original owner, whether you're dealing with Ha'odo, in the case of the Shor Hamuad. Avol Baldo Greda, however, when it comes to your basic Ha'odo, and you're saying that really there is a coil, nevertheless, Xeris HaKosavu, Deinas Hamuad Elim came the Edim Befonov. In the case of Shor Hamuad, unless the warning to the owner takes place in his presence, directly to him, without that, we cannot achieve Shor Hamuad status. But that's because of the presence of a pasuk, which we refer to as Xeris HaKosav. Afilu Yisbar Lo Be'elef Edim She'eidu Al Shoro Be'ezdin. And if you're lacking the Befonov feature, the Ha'odah is not going to take place, even if it becomes known to the owner of the animal that there was the testimony of a thousand witnesses in court. If it wasn't in the owner's presence, so the Shor Hamuad status is not achieved. We continue with the next tesis, Dibra Masvil Kegoin. Goin Slaf, in reference to the Gemara, 15 lines from the bottom. And this was in the context of Shitas Rabbi Meir that held Kirev Negichaisav Lo Kol Shekein, that a rapid succession of gorings will certainly establish the Muad status. The topic heading that we have on the side of this Tosfos reads as follows: Hesber Seder She'elois HaGemara. We want to try to gain additional clarity regarding the order of the Gemara's questions. We saw the Gemara first ask from Te'ena, and then, after saying Te'ena is not similar to the case of Nekichos, the Gemara went on to ask about the case of Tzlaf. That's in accordance with our Girsa. There's a girsa that the Rach has, that where the Gemara asks first about Slach, and then turns to ask about Te'ena. Now, let's go to the Tosfos himself. Kigon Slach, afagav de shoni lei mi Te'ena, porach mi Slach, even though the Gemara gave an answer for the Te'ena, why three harvests on the same day of Te'ena is not going to result in a chazaka. The Gemara nevertheless went on to ask, what about in the case of Tzlaf? And why was there room to continue asking? And why is it that Te'ena wasn't a sufficient answer even for Tzlaf? The Te'ena Gedoylohi, we'll call the second Te'ena, namely the second group of figs that you're planning to harvest after you remove the first group, it's that second group, that subsequent group of figs are large. B'sha'a shenotlin chaverto min ha'ilon. At the point that you were removing the first ones from the tree, the second ones were already large. Elo shelo nisbashlo abayin. Rather, the only thing that was lacking was it wasn't fully ripe in the, we'll say, in the morning when you took off the first batch of figs. That second batch, even though it was large, it wasn't fully ripe. Avol tzlaf katan hapri harpe kishnetlin hoachas. In the case of tzlaf, the second one is quite small when you're removing the first one. And where do we see that? Kidomar b'Shabbos, from an agadic section in Shabbos, Masechet Shabbos, where it says, "Asidim ilona shi'itanu peiros b'chol yoim." In the future, trees will bear new fruit every day. Ligleg olav oisai tamid. There was a student that ridiculed what the Rebbe was teaching. And he said, "Ein kol chadash tachas haShemesh." There's nothing new under the sun. In other words, if today we see trees that none of them produce new fruits every day, you can't anticipate in the future that that's going to happen. Well, the rabbi responded, "Achvi leit slaf." He showed him the tzlaf, namely the tzlaf. I have new berries today. Tomorrow, new ones will be available that weren't there. They were very small, we'll say, the previous day. So that, as far as asidin ilona shi'itan uperes b'chayom, that's not a deviation from the concept of ein chodesh tachas haShemesh, because the time in the future where trees bear fruit every day is already precedented by the tzlaf. So Tosfos is making the point that the tzlaf represents, let's say, a basis for asking the question, even though we already got an answer for the te'ena. And that difference being that by the te'ena, when the first one is being harvested, removed from the tree, the second one is already large. It's not like the negichos, when the first negicha takes place, the second one is non-existent. So when it comes to the tzlaf, when you're removing the first one, the second one is still very small. So in our mind's eye, that's the element of it being non-existent. It then has a stronger parallel, the tzlaf, a stronger parallel to the negichos than the te'ena. V'rach goris bereisha, the Rach in his version of the Gemara has at first tlosaperi b'chad yomakagon slaf. The issue of gaining a chazoka on a slaf plant that has three growths, and if I take them on one day, will I have a chazoka? Kagon slaf sheishlo shlosha peros biyachad. The tzlaf has three, we'll say, useful growths. It has the, there are something, its leaves, it has its evyonis, and it has its kafrisin. These are different kinds of fruits that grow on the tzlaf plant. The evyonis and the kafrisin. So in addition to the olam, you have those two, three peros. Ubosar hachigores, and after asking about the tzlaf, the rach has his, as his girsa, kigon te'ena. After tzlaf, the Gemara proceeds to talk about the te'ena. Vahi, the Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos that Tosis referred to before, mashma kisforim shalonu. It would appear that more like our girsa, namely that the tzlaf is the subsequent tzlaf is less pronounced, less significant than the subsequent te'ena, and hence the based on the Gemara Shabbos, the order of suggestions of the Gemara that we have would make more sense.